Would it bring you good comfort, you who are a child of God, would it bring you great comfort to know that the Lord goes before you?
Yes.
Everywhere you go? That He goes before you? Would that comfort your soul? Comforts mine. To know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, that good man is Christ, of course. But He ordains the steps of His people, doesn't He? Because all things happen in this world according to His will and purpose. Even the things we don't understand, even the things we scratch our head at. Say, I don't understand that, Lord, but I submit it myself to Your will. And we've only do that because we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God had appointed that Moses would not cross over the Jordan. And we will see that even though he can't go over the Jordan, that he encourages those who will go over the Jordan into the promised land. And just as the Lord led the people of Israel, went before them through the wilderness, he's ever with his people, ever going before us. And the inability of Moses to go over to the Jordan and the ability of Joshua should be something that we notice when we're looking at the passage that we're going to look at. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses' natural strength had not diminished, and the Lord had said unto him, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Neither was it by the power of Joshua that Joshua was able to go over the Jordan. It was because the Lord was with him. The only reason we keep going through this wilderness is because God keeps us. And God goes before us. And do you know a shepherd protects the sheep? I mean, he protects the sheep from all kinds of things, doesn't he? He protects the sheep from themselves. Because the old sheep, they get themselves in a heap of trouble all by themselves. They protect the sheep from wolves and from false shepherds. Here, protect His people. You know, I'll tell you a story. I was talking to Donnie Bell a long time ago. We were in Oregon, and he said, Wayne, you're right now in Oregon here, you're in the desert. And out there, I preached anywhere from 7 to people to 14 people to 2 people at once. And the Lord, and Donnie said to me, he said, you won't be here all the time. And I said, what do you mean? I said, I feel like I'm going to die here. He says, no. He said, the Lord won't protect his, or the Lord won't let anyone just lead his sheep. He's going to put them through some things first. And he did that. I believe Oregon for me was just a preparation for being here with you all. And he said, he won't let anyone just care for his sheep. And I know now, after being here 7 years, coming up 7 years in December, I know what he meant. You guys are so dear to me. But in all that we've went through, even since I've been here, the Lord's went with us, hasn't he? Not just with us, he went before us. He's protected us. He's kept us. He's guided us. He's directed us. And look what we have. We can come here. I said to Vicki this morning, we get to go and be with the Lord's people. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. And it's not by might nor power of anything in me that I come before you guys and preach the gospel. It's all the Lord. It's all him. And Joshua, it wasn't by his might or power that he go over the Jordan. It was because God led him over the Jordan. And God went before him. And we need to remember that Moses is typical of the law and Joshua is typical of Christ and his gospel. And then we see how it's impossible for the law to bring souls to God. See, all the law does is condemn us, right? It can't bring us to God. But Joshua, being a picture of Christ, he leads the people of Israel over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. Who leads us into the land of Canaan, beloved? The heavenly land. It's Jesus Christ our Lord, isn't it? He leads us. The scripture declares, for the law made nothing perfect, but a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And that better hope is Christ. And he's the one who we draw nigh to God with. Outside of him, we can't draw nigh to God, can we? And it's him who draws us nigh to God. We're in his grip, beloved. It's wonderful. Look at this in Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 to 8. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord, that's Jehovah there, hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Remember he struck that rock twice? Yeah, he smote the rock twice. And that rock was a picture of Christ. And Christ can only be smitten once for our sins. And the Lord said, you're not going to go over. You're not going to pass the Jordan. And the Lord thy God, he will go over. Now he's telling them. He's telling them here. Look what he says. The Lord thy God, he will go over what? Before thee. You know he goes over before us? He's ever before us. Always. Look at this though. And this is true for every one of God's people. And he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord saith. And what happened? It happened, didn't it? And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Shion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong. There's an exhortation for us, right? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Oh, two beautiful words. Remember Mephibosheth comes to the throne, and King David says, fear not. David's a picture of the Father there. Fear not. Those are two sweet words, beloved. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee. Oh Lord, burn that into my mind. Burn that into my mind, Lord, please. Into my heart. He shall not fail thee, nor forsake thee. My, why do I get worked up? I don't know, because I'm a dumb sheep. My, oh my. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. Oh my. And shall cause them to inherit it. Look at that. You know there's an inheritance already waiting for us in heaven? Undefiled. Where moss cannot get to it. Rust can't do anything to it. It's in Christ, beloved. It's in Christ. Our inheritance is set. Reserved for us in heaven. You ever go out for a meal and reserve a table? I've only done it a few times in my life, not a whole lot. But you reserve a table, and you go in and say, I made reservations, and they take you right to a table that they got for you. And a little sign on there, it says reserved, and you sit right there. Nobody else can sit there as long as you made a reservation. Do you know that our inheritance is reserved for us in heaven? Nothing can touch it, beloved. Nothing can touch it. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that makes your heart fill with joy, doesn't it? Oh, and the Lord, look at who does all this. Who does all these wondrous things? Right? Salvation's of the Lord, isn't it? Look at this. Who does it all? Is it man? Is it Moses? Is it Joshua? No. Scripture says here, and the Lord, he it is that doeth, or that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. My. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? That's an absolutely wonderful verse. So when we get down, which we will, when we're kind of feeling off one day, Deuteronomy 31:8 is a good verse to go to, isn't it? That'll give us strength. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. How many times a week? 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Except in a leap year, what's 364 then? But he's ever with us, isn't he? That's what that means. He's always with us. And in these words here, neither forsake thee. Those are precious words, aren't they? Those are precious words. And because of that, he says, fear not. Don't worry. We live in a turbulent time, don't we, in this world? We got to admit it, it's turbulent. Fear not. The Lord will never forsake us. The Lord ever goes before us. Fear not. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Neither be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, beloved. Don't be discouraged. You know, David wrote about a rich man, right? He says, I see him prospering in his wicked ways, but then I went to the temple. And I knew his end. We know the end of all those outside of Christ, don't we? It's damnation and hell. But oh, for God's people, for people who don't even deserve it, for people who get what they don't deserve, mercy, grace, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. Think of the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. It doesn't even compare. It doesn't even compare to glory. It doesn't even come close. Now each day we rise, and we don't know what the day has in store for us, do we? We have no idea. Brian, you said it this morning. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day. Well, and how do we know it's a wonderful day? Because the Lord goes before me. The Lord's ever with me. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Even if I'm down, my oh my, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We don't know what today has in store for us. We don't even know if we have tomorrow. We don't know. But we do know who holds our life, don't we? The sovereign, almighty God of the universe. The one here who says, I'll go before you. I'll go before you. I'll not forsake you. Don't be discouraged, beloved. And we, as the child of God, the children of God, we can rest in these words, can't we? It's God's words. Now, I could say to you, well, I'm going to be right there with you. But what if I get sick? Right?
or a dear friend or family member will say, I'm always going to be with you no matter what. What if they die? This is the one true living God who says these words to his people. I'll go before you. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. Do not be discouraged. Fear not, my little loved ones. And that's a shepherd saying that, isn't it? That's the great shepherd. That's the one who David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, doesn't he? Where's the green pastures? Right here, beloved. Green pastures of the Word of God. Oh, wonderful. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? This book is all about he who is righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is the righteousness of his people. What words of comfort are even found in verse 3? The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. So he says, I'm going to go over before you. I'm going to prepare the way before you. Before you even walk a step, I'm going to go before you. My. And bring that home to us. He does that for us, beloved. All the time. When we go through those dark waters, those deep waters where the water gets up to our chin and it's just starting to get up, he's with us. When we're in a storm of life and it just seems like everything around us is darkness and thunder rattling and lightning flashing, he's ever with us. When there comes a time when our heart is broken, and we've experienced sorrow, deep, deep sorrow, he's ever with us. When someone else leaves us or forsakes us, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. And my love will always be set upon you. Because it's an eternal love, isn't it? It's an unchanging love. It's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever? That's what drove Christ to come to redeem our souls, is that everlasting love that Christ has for the people that God gave him. We don't know who they are, so we preach the gospel to everyone, don't we? And God does the saving. But I'll tell you this, he saves sinners, because that's what I am, and that's what you, who are the redeemed of the Lord, are, aren't we? We're just saved sinners. And now we praise God. And he said, we didn't even know that he went before us. Do you know, even when we were dead in sins, he was watching over us? There's never been a time when his eyes not being upon we who are his people. My. You know, he's ever went before us. Even when I was dead in trespasses and sins, and in my mind was an enemy with God, he was right there. Oh, breaks my heart. But yet it fills my heart with love and joy to know that. What love! You can't even measure that. So the child of God, we can rest in the uncertainty of life. We can rest in the fact of these verses here. When the Lord says this, the Lord thy God, Jehovah Elohim, he will go over before thee. The self-existent one, the strong and mighty one, will go before you. Oh, my. The lost person is concerned with what lies before them. But the believer in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have the blessed privilege of the believer to be occupied with who goes before us. Death's sting is gone now, isn't it? It's but a doorway into glory, beloved. It's lost its sting. In Deuteronomy 31:8, look at it, who's our guide? The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. Who's the guide of our life? Jehovah. Jehovah's our guide, beloved. He lights the path, doesn't He? And He is the light. He is the light. And what a difference this can make in a believer's life to know that the Lord goes before us. He's gone before His people in the great decree of predestination, hasn't He? Think upon it and marvel at how the Lord goes before you. Your future's already been marked out for you. Already been marked out. You shall not tread a step which is not mapped on the grand chart of God's foreordination. And the circumstances of your life has been divinely ordered. You ever think of that? The circumstances of our lives are divinely ordered for our good and for His glory. Now, there's a lot of times we can't see that. But that's what the Scripture says. So we believe it. We believe what the Word of God says, don't we? We believe it. The world speaks of fate and chance and luck. We have nothing to do with that. Nothing at all. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The believer's lot, as one commentator brings forth, is not decided by the women of fickle fortune. The Romans used to have a god named Fortuna. And it was the god of luck and chance. There is no luck and chance. That's a figment of human imagination. The God, our God, is the God of infinite wisdom and infinite love. And He's arranged everything. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. He's arranged everything. Do you know He's appointed the bounds of our habitation? Listen to what Paul writes here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. I love this portion of Scripture. I always say a lot about every Scripture, but this Mars Hill speech here is absolutely incredible. And again, remember, it's all by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 17, starting verse 22 and going to verse 32. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." A lot of superstitious people in this world. I was superstitious before the Lord saved me. It says, "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. God that made the world." Look at that. That's a declaration, isn't it? That's not up for debate, is it? Do you know? I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I had listened to a message by Tim James. See me picking this paper up? It took more effort for me to pick this piece of paper up than it did for God to speak the universe and the worlds into existence. It's nothing for Him. Absolutely nothing. He just spoke it. I have to lift this paper. He just spoke it. That's how powerful our God is. And look at He says, God that made the world. It's not up for debate. And all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth life, or giveth to all life. That's saved and unsaved, that's animal life, that's plant life, that's everything. Microscopic life, in breath, and all things. He that hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. You see, we have differences in the pigmentation of our skin, right? But we're all one blood, aren't we? You know, people talk about all these different races. Do you know there's only the human race? In God's eyes, there's the human race. That's what there is. We got the same blood. We just have different pigmentations of skin, but we're all the same. We're all the same. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. Look at that. The times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Oh my goodness. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, not saved and unsaved. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are his offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God is like unto God is like unto silver, gold, or stone, graven by art and man's devices. So now he's hitting their idols. See, man back then made idols of gold and silver and stone and wood. They go down and cut a tree, right? They go out there and they start chopping a tree down, right? And they look at this one piece and they say, oh, this piece would be good for an idol. I'll make my God out of this piece. And I'm just going to burn the rest of this. And then they're going to take that piece of wood to an idol maker. And he's going to carve whatever he wants or whatever they desire. And then they're going to bow down to it and they're going to worship it. And I can't say nothing because I came out of Catholicism, which is basically Mary worship. Sister, you were saying they were putting flowers on the altar for Mary. Yes, it just shows you. It just shows you it's idolatry, beloved. It's idolatry. It's so sad. And I was there. But there's hope. There's hope in Christ, isn't there? In Christ alone. But see, we're natural. It's natural for us. We would rather worship an idol in our natural state and have nothing to do with God. It's wonderful. For in him we live and move and have our beings, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone, graven by art and man's devices. So the Godhead is nowhere near man's idols. Because they're just dead idols. They're still a piece of stone. They're still a piece of wood. They maybe have gold overlay in them. Or they may be made of pure gold. But they can't do anything. They can do absolutely nothing. Even sometimes you go into certain restaurants and they got these little guys here. And the little Buddha guy. And they have to hit them to make them move. And then when they stop, they tap them again to make them move. It's just an idol. It can't do anything. And the God of the universe gives them breath to breathe. They don't even know it. We didn't even know it in our natural state. Look at this, though. In the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Out goes the call. Repent. Look to Christ. He's the only Savior of sinners. There's only salvation under one name, right? One name under heaven whereby men shall be saved. And that's Christ Jesus our Lord. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. There is going to be a great day of judgment, whether people believe it or not. And it says here, he will judge the world in righteousness. Who's the one who's going to judge the world? He who is righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. He raised Christ from the dead to show that he's pleased with the sacrifice of Christ. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "Will we hear again of this matter?" Now some of them mocked, and some of them went, "I want to hear more about this." Who made them to differ? Look at the divide right there. Some are mocking. Now we don't know. We don't know if some of those who mocked later on the Lord saved them. We don't know. But we see a division right there, don't we? See, God's distinguishing grace. We are proof of God's distinguishing grace. Everyone who's born again of the Holy Spirit of God. We're proof of God's distinguishing grace. So think upon this, beloved of God. You may be thrust in the furnace. And oftentimes, we are the furnace of affliction. Or the furnace of health. A health crisis. And it's a furnace. It's an affliction. But the Lord says, I'll never leave you. I'm always going to be with you. And think of this. The Lord has already gone before us and prepared the way for us. Because we don't know what's going to happen, do we? We have no idea. Do you know the scripture says this? Paul penned this. And this is not no name it and claim it thing. Paul penned this. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What do we need? We need to be saved from our sins. We need to be justified so we can stand before God. Right? We need to be redeemed. Right? We need faith and repentance before God. He gives us that. We need to be sanctified. Well, that comes in Christ and him alone, doesn't it? He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's our, in other words, he's our all in all, isn't he? He's everything to us. And he shed his precious blood. He has not supplied all of our spiritual needs in ourselves. No, in Christ and him alone. We have redemption in and through the shed blood of Christ. When he shed his blood, he redeemed us from under the law, Paul wrote in Galatians. And then he wrote in Ephesians that now we're accepted in the beloved. That being Christ, we're accepted in Christ. You know, we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before, you think of this too, before there was ever any angels. Before there was ever anything. Do you know God was perfectly content? A.W. Pink says God was perfectly content being God. He didn't have to create nothing. He didn't even have to choose us. But he did, didn't he? He chose us in Christ, Ephesians 1:4 says, before the foundation of the world. Before this world was even created. What love. What mercy. And so when Christ died in our room and place on Calvary's cross before the law of God, now the law has no claim on us. Because it's been satisfied in Christ. When he died for the sins of his people, right? What did he do? He came to save what? His people from their sins. And that's what he did at Calvary's cross. Now, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, isn't he? God planned and purposed the whole thing. He's loved us with an everlasting love, an unchanging love. But that which was planned and purposed in eternity comes to pass in time. And then at the time of love, we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, aren't we? Granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance before God. You know, faith and repentance is like this piece of paper. It's one side's faith, one side's repentance. And God gives it to us. Isn't that amazing? We can't muster it up. So every born-again, blood-washed believer, we can praise God because we have a full provision in Christ, don't we? Not in the name it and claim it way, but all our spiritual needs. That's what we most desperately need. All our spiritual needs are fulfilled in Christ. And look what it says. Never forget this. The Lord, He it is that goeth before thee. Forever. He'll not change. Nothing in our lives catch Him by surprise. Now, there are a lot of things that catch us by surprise, isn't there? But He's already prepared the way for us. And absolutely nothing in our lives catches Him by surprise. When I was a dispensational Arminianist, I used to say, well, God, Adam fell, and then the Jews rejected Christ, and now God had to go to plan B and bring it to the Gentiles. That's not true. There's never been a plan B. God, to glorify His majesty and His power, had chosen to save a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. When Adam fell, God didn't go to plan B. No. That all happened according to God's will. And think of this. Now the Redeemer comes into this world. Now God, manifest in the flesh, comes into this world to save His people from their sins. And so we even see that in our salvation. The Lord goeth before us, doesn't He? He goes before us. So take comfort, beloved of God. Scripture declares, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear, Isaiah 65:24. Before we even call out to God in prayer, He already knows what we're going to call out about. See, He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows everything that's going to happen. So if He already knows everything that's going to happen, He's already made provision for you and I, hasn't He? As God's people. Oh, that's comforting, isn't it? So no matter what comes our way, He's already made provision for it. Wow. Oh, our great God. He's so wonderful. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Have you ever considered, before we reach a place God's provided for us, where the road leads, all has already been made ready? Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in verse 21 and going to verse 33. Before we reach a place God's already provided for us, and wherever that the road leads, the way's already been made. Behold, the Lord thy God, verse 21, has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. He set it right before him. Deuteronomy 1:21. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. So this is an ongoing. Why does the Lord keep telling us to fear not? Because we fear. Because we fear. We're fearful folks. And ye come near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. The Lord's already told them. The way's clear for you. And they turned and went up into the mountains and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which our Lord God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hateth us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. He has just parted the Red Sea, beloved. He's brought them through the Red Sea. And here they are in their tents murmuring. Is God not merciful? He's so merciful. My, he's just said, don't be afraid, I'm going to go before you. Where shall we go? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we are. Oh, they're huge guys. They got more armor than we have. Oh, don't forget the Lord's going before you guys. Right? Moses must be... Look what all the things the Lord's done for us, right? Oh my, we're all the same though, aren't we? We're all the same. We're all the same. This, you know, I'm not going to say anything because we're all. The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. They weren't walled up to heaven, but see how men can exaggerate things? And moreover, what did God do to the walls of Jericho? They didn't even have to raise a hand. Hey, they just blew the trumpets. And God made them walls just tumble, didn't he? Oh, my. And walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. This is what Moses said to them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that they went until you came into this place. Now what happens for we dads when we're out with our kids, our boys or our girls, and they get tired? We pick them up, don't we? Come on, sweetie, I'll take you. I'll bear you. That's what the Lord done for them. He took them from the land of Egypt, all through those places. Bear them like a man bears his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. See? That's why Peter said, Lord, help my unbelief. We're all plagued by it. I've cried that before, have you? Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me. Who went in the way before you. Now let us just burn this through our heart. Who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way you should go in a cloud by day. He guided them. He had a cloud over them during the day to keep the hot sun from roasting them. And a fire by night so they could see the way. And that fire kept away animals, enemies, marauders, robbers. Right? Because those folks like to work in the dark, don't they? And then, notice in verse 33, it says, the Lord went in a way before you. Meaning, now, we know Israel's a picture of the church, and he went in to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way we should go in a cloud by day. My, oh my. If he did that for Israel, how much more will he do for we who are his born-again, blood-washed people? Didn't he say, I go to prepare a place for you? Didn't he tell us that? I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you will be. Or be there. And the Lord goes before his sheep. The scriptures declare this truth. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We know the voice of the shepherd now, don't we? And we follow him. So what comfort there's found in trials and tribulations? Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 73. Asaph wrote this about our great God in Psalm 73. He wrote these words, and how comforting they are for God's people. Because we're weak, but in our weakness, he is strong. Psalm 73, verses 24 to 28. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Is that not what he does for us through this world? Does he not guide us by his counsel and then receive us into glory? Whom have I in heaven but thee? I ask you that. Who else do we have in heaven but Christ? My, oh my. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Who's our reward in heaven? Christ. Christ. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Have you put your trust in the Lord God? He's the only Savior of sinners. Can't save yourself. I can't save myself. But I'm telling you right now, but one who can save all who come to him. Save them to the uttermost. Doesn't matter how black your sins are, he can make you white as snow. My, oh my. And for the believer, he says, I've put my trust in the Lord God. It's good for me to draw near to God. I thank him that he drew me to him. Is it so for you? I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. And what do we declare? The wondrous work of his salvation, the wondrous work of his creation, the wondrous works of his divine workings and providence. Think about how the Lord provides for his people. Think of how the Lord's gone before you in your life. Think of how there may have been something that would have ruined your life. And the Lord kept you from it. Or he let you get in a little bit and then pulled you out of it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And that's the Lord speaking to his disciples. And we who are his people, the Lord's prepared a place for us. Reserved. There's a spot reserved in heaven for every believer. There's an inheritance that's incorruptible for us, waiting for us in heaven. It's in Christ, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. My, oh my. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let us remember this week, In the weeks to come, no matter what we see going on in this world, no matter the turmoil we see going on in this world, that our God ever goes before us. And he said, and take this to heart, take it to your name, Tom. He said to you, Tom, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I'll go ever before you, Travis. Linda, Brian, I'm going to go before you. Isn't that wonderful? I'm never going to leave you. I prepared the way for you. You just go forward. Oh, what a great God. What a great God we have, beloved. What mercy we've received in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we can say is glory to His name, right? Praise His mighty name.